بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver, it is only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us life and He has given us the tawfiq of making our Maghrib Salat and the chance and opportunity to sit and listen to some discourse of deen. We will hear the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, incidents, explanation regarding our discussion on maut and all those things pertaining to maut. We had reached the aspect of qabr. We discuss quite a bit regarding the qabr, the questioning of Munkar and Nakir, how they will ask us the questions, the believer, when he will be put into the qabr, how the qabr will honor and entertain the believer, what will happen to a disbeliever when he is placed in the qabr, and various other aspects were discussed. Inshallah, today we continue. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, according to Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, the one who learns the Quran or he commits to memory the Quran, he begins learning the Quran in Majid by heart, and then he passes away before he could memorize it. So he starts learning, he's doing hifz of the Quran in Majid, and then he passes away. An angel comes to him in his grave to teach him the balance of the Quran. And he will meet Allah Ta'ala in a state where he had already memorized the Quran in Majid. Such a great blessing. The person is doing hifz of the Quran and then he passes away. So Allah Ta'ala, out of His fadl and kindness, does not deprive this person of waking up on the day of Qiyamah, being resurrected in the condition that he is hafiz of Quran. Now, if you look at his hadith, it's not talking about a small child. Hadith just say a person who reads the Quran and is learning the Quran by heart. So even those who have become or old in age also, if you make niyat, inshallah, whatever little you learn now, and then you pass it, but you must be sincere that you want to do hifz of the Quran. So even if you learn a few surahs, and maut comes, inshallah, you'll be raised in the day of Qiyamah as a hafiz of the Quran. And we have heard in many other talks about the virtues of a hafiz of the Quran. Minimum virtue is that 10 people were destined for Jahannam, upon whom Jahannam had become wajib. 10 persons of the family of the hafiz of the Quran. This hafiz of the Quran now will be given the chance of interceding on behalf of those 10 persons, and his intercession will be accepted, and those 10 persons who are destined for Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will now give them Jannat. That is why Mawlana Abrar Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the hafiz of the Quran has 11 passports to Jannat. One is for himself, another 10 passports he gives to those 10 people of the family who were destined for Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala, through the barakat of this Quran, Allah Ta'ala saves them also from Jahannam. Then Sayyidina Qais bin Qubaysa radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah said, and we did this previously also, where a person who dies without making wasiyah, he will not be allowed to talk to those who had already died. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah, do the deceased converse among themselves? He replied, yes, they visit one another. Now this is another realm, as I explained. So this is alam-e barzakh. The arwah, they meet. When a person goes into the qabr, then the other arwah, they converse, they talk to this person. So that's a different realm, and we cannot apply the analogy of this world to that realm. But person, the important thing here is that we should make wasiyyat. In other words, you have to have a will and a testament. If we have our wills drawn up, and of course it must be drawn up according to Sharia. We can't put our own things because A or B, who would have been heirs, and because we've got a problem with them, we disinherit them. This is very, very, very common. Sometimes the father is annoyed with one of the sons or one of the daughters, and he says, "Now, no more this person will inherit from me." Then this is again Sharia. Whoever a Quranic heirs, they will remain in Quranic heirs. So the will has to be drawn up according to Sharia. And we should not sleep until that will is drawn up, wasiyat is made, so that when the person passes away, people are not pareshan, and everything is done according to Sharia. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah said, any person passing the grave of his mu'min brother, whom he knew in this world, and says salam to him, the deceased person recognizes him and replies to his salam. This is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah said, as you're going past a qabristan, you're going past a grave, and you make salam to the person who is in the grave, this deceased person recognizes you. Obviously, a mu'min brother whom he knew in the world. So this deceased person recognizes this person. Many times people ask, we're going for the qabr of that person, family member, does he recognize us? So yes, according to the hadith of Rasulullah, that deceased person recognizes you. And he even replies to the salam. But we cannot hear the salam, but Allah Ta'ala gives or makes the person reply to the salam that we make. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah said, the arwah, the souls of the shuhada, the martyrs, those who became shaheed. And a few weeks back, we explained different types of shuhada. One is the shaheed, the martyr. Commonly we know the shaheed who passes away is killed in the battlefield in jihad. But besides him, there are so many others. Somebody is drowned. Somebody upon whom a wall collapsed. Somebody who is killed defending his family, his property. Somebody who passed away through a stomach disease. And there's a whole list of shuhada. So they will also get the sawab of shaheed in the akhirat. This hadith is saying the arwah, the souls of the shuhada, the martyrs, are in the form of green birds, beautiful green birds. So the souls are in the form of green birds and they fly around, they go around in Jannah wherever they wish. They go and settle on the chandeliers under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is reported in Muslim Sharif. The one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, do dead people recognize one another? So he said, may your hands be in dust. Now this was an expression they would use sometimes to reproach the person. And according to some ulama here, it is an expression of kindness. The nafs mutma'innah, the tranquil soul, is in the form of a green bird in Jannah. Beautiful bird, comes in that form. So Rasulullah explains, he says, if birds in the branches of trees recognize one another, if birds in the branches of trees, if they can recognize one another, then surely souls would recognize one another. Birds in the branches of trees, it is apparent that they recognize one another. So just like how those birds recognize one another, the arwah, the souls also of the shuhada would recognize one another. Or the souls of the marhumin, they would recognize one another. So as Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali in Shauqi Watan, he's giving us a hadith to show us to remove the fear that we have of mort. And so that some longing is created in our heart for hereafter. A desire is created to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has got numerous promises, different promises for the believer. And we've seen how Allah ta'ala honors the believer, the soul of a believer as he is leaving the world. Then in the qabr also. Then in the day of qiyamah, So a believer, yes, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you shouldn't become so overwhelmed that now you lose all courage and then you just become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. We will make mistakes, we make tawbah, istighfar, and we continue. Then we have what is called thawab-e-jariya, I think last week we did mention a few. Where a person does some action in this world, and the benefit of that action still continues even after he leaves this world. Then there are those actions that others who are living still, they do and they pass on the sawab to the marhumin. Let's look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a person passes away, his deeds come to an end. He is unable to perform any deeds. Once you pass away, there's no namaz for you. There's no tilawat, there's no zikr, there's nothing you can do now in the qabr. Except from three things. One is sadaqah jariyah. Example like waqf. The person donated his house, donated a piece of land to some masjid, to some madrasa, to some dini institution, some poor person, whatever it is. He gives it as waqf, as charity, to some organization. Now they make use of that land, or that building, or that house. So whatever good amal is taking place there, whatever good deeds they do, this deceased person will still benefit from that sawab that is now coming to him. Because he had donated that piece of land, and he gave that as waqf. Or such ilm, from which benefit continues to be derived, like teaching, writing books, etc. Knowledge. This is one very great virtue of ilm-e-deen, when a person passes on knowledge in the form of a bayan, some majlis, some waaz, some nasihat, some kitab. As long as people read that book, or they practice on whatever he had spoken, and alhamdulillah, today's time, we make good use of the technology. There are CDs available and they are being distributed in big numbers. And the person just gave one bayan, but so many thousands of people are benefiting. So each time they are benefiting and they are doing that action, they will also get sawab. And also the person who was instrumental, who became the means of them gaining that knowledge and discerning what is right from wrong, and they were able to practice upon that, then he will also get the thawab. This is the barakat of ilm-e-deen. I'll give you one example. A person gives a child a Quran, Quran Sharif. This child does hifz of the Quran-e-Majid from that copy of Quran. Some family member, some friend, somebody gave him this hadith of the Quran Sharif I'm giving you. He memorizes the whole Quran. So that person who gave him the Quran will get the thawab of this person becoming hafiz. And for every time he opened the Quran and he read from there, that person is getting thawab. After that, this person is going to read for so many years, taraweeh. And in many cases, this person grows up and then he teaches other students to become hafiz of the Quran. And in turn, they teach others to become hafiz of the Quran. Now look at the thawab, how it multiplies and carries on. So easy, very easy deed to do is, look for some thing that is necessary, some need. For example, I don't give Quran Sharif to people who got 10 Qurans lying in their home. That's another problem. Every person will just give a gift to the Hafiz, he finishes Quran, and you give another gift of Quran. MashaAllah, he's already memorized the Quran. Go and find those people where they don't even have Nurani Qaeda. In our own country, there are so many madrasas. Some years back, we went to some madrasa in the township. It was a Sunday. It was before Zohar. There were elderly women who had just embraced Islam, and they were coming, and they were sharing copies of Nurani Qaeda and learning under some shelter. Like we find so many places in the world where they require Quran Sharif. Or one hafiz of the Quran, you give him, a person becoming a hafiz, or you know he's going to become, give him the Quran. Or somebody is studying ilm-e-deen, and you buy him his kitabs, in buying a set of ahadith kitabs or tafsir, whatever it is, he will learn from there and you will get all the sawab of his gaining knowledge, inshaAllah. So these things, even though the person passes away, because he was instrumental, or he became the means of others gaining knowledge, then he also continues to get that thawab. Then a pious child who makes dua for the deceased parent, very important. وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ Pious son or daughter, child. A pious child who makes dua for the deceased parent, mother or father who passed away, and we make dua. Now that is one way of still showing some type of obedience to our parents. When they are alive, we are supposed to obey them. When they leave this world, in the ahadith, many things have been explained, but one thing is, you must make istighfar on their behalf. Oh Allah, forgive my parents. Oh Allah, forgive my parents. Every dua, make dua for the maghfirat of your parents. Make dua, ya Allah removes the azab of qabr if they are being punished. Oh Allah, give them the highest position in akhirat. Ya Allah, make the qabr a rawdatu min riyadil jannah. Our parents have done so much for us, and we can't spend 5 minutes making dua for them. So these three things are exceptions. That means the person, the child is making dua for the parent will still get the sawab. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah said, that four people are such that their rewards continue after death. But there's another hadith. The one that guards the borders at the time of jihad. When jihad is taking place, then we call in Arabic what is called ribat. Ribat means to guard the borders and to protect the Muslim army from any enemy that would attack. And now that person who is a murabit, who is guarding the borders from any enemy attacking, he has to be very vigilant, very alert, he has to be awake. Perhaps the rest of the army might be fast asleep, but he can't afford to sleep. If he snoozes, he sleeps, enemy will attack, the whole army will be attacked. So they have to be very vigilant, and they will be very watchful. So it's a very difficult position. In fact, they are putting their life in danger first. Most likely they'll be attacked first. They'll lose their life. So this person who is in ribat, he's guarding the borders. His great, great virtues in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one virtue has been mentioned here, that such a person, even though when he passes away, his deeds do not come to an end. In other words, the rewards still continue after death. The one that guards the borders at the time of jihad. The second one that we discuss now, the one that imparts dini knowledge. The one that imparts dini knowledge. And therefore Rasulullah said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَا. You learn one ayat of the Quran, then pass it on to others from me. Obviously ulama explain, you must understand the ayat properly, or whatever the hadith was, whatever the advice was, whatever the teaching was, you must understand it properly. Now, if you don't understand it properly, you'll give the wrong answer. Like that person famous we always hear, he heard the Maulana talking about Salat of a Musafir is half, he went and heard wrong, he said the Salat of a Musafir is maaf. So no namaz to read. So therefore it's very important that we listen attentively. Sometimes we're listening so attentively, I think, that after some time we ask, what did the Maulana speak? Can't remember anything. But many times while sitting here, mashallah, so much of sakina comes, so much of sakina comes, peace and tranquility, that we just go into some lull mood, mashallah. But this is ilm-e-deen. I was explaining the other day, that imagine Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, how much of love they had for the knowledge of deen, that he's telling the sahaba, rush quickly into the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sweetmeats is being distributed. Sahaba go there, nobody giving sweetmeats, what are you talking about? So they come, where sweetmeats? You see, can't you see, halaqah of tahleem taking place. Hadith is being imparted. That is sweetmeats. That is real sweetmeats. Without knowledge, person does not know what is expected of him. And therefore, ilm-e-deen is vital. But with ilm-e-deen is amal. Otherwise, you can have knowledge of all the kitabs, and you can be hafiz of the Quran, and alim, and a mufti, but you're not practicing, then you are like a donkey that has just got books on its back. No benefit. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah give us tawfiq of making amal on the ilm we have. And one of the questions on the day of Qiyamah, a person will not be able to move his feet until he gives jawab to certain questions. One of the questions is, مَاذَا عَمِلْتَ بِمَا عَلِمْتَ. What did you practice? How much did you practice with the knowledge that you received? The knowledge you attained. So much of knowledge you had. You studied Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, and all of so many kitabs, and tafsir of Quran, and ahadith of Rasulullah SAW. What amal did you do? So, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلُوْ آيَةً. Rasulullah says, even one ayat, then pass it on from me to others. Ulama explain, there's a small nukta here, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلُوْ آيَةً. You make tabligh, you pass on from me, even if it's one ayat. You see, there is takleef here. Now, takleef don't mean pain. It means a responsibility has been put on to our shoulders. That's what I'm saying. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي. Pass on from me. Make tabligh from me. So this is a responsibility. Takleef in Arabic. But there's takhfif also. It's made very light. Rasulullah didn't say learn the whole Quran and then only you can pass. Even one ayat you learn properly. Now pass it on. You go home. Explain to your wife. Explain to your children. Explain to your family members. So they will also get knowledge. And they'll also practice. Then ulama say this, takleef, takhfif, and there is takreem. Ballighu, from who? We're going to transmit from who? Anni, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what a great honor. That we are passing on the knowledge of nubuwat, knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not any other dunyawi knowledge. So this great thawab for passing on the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to others. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. So a person who imparts dini knowledge, even his rewards continue after death. The third one mentioned, the person who has given charity, and until that remains, until the charity remains, reward will continue to be attained. Therefore, if a person gives such a charity, where it's not going to end, then right through in the qabr he gets a sawab of the charity that he has given. And the fourth one, the one who leaves a pious child, pious son, who makes dua for him. The child will make dua for the father, then the sawab will go to the father. I mentioned last week, مَالْ مَيِّتْ إِلَّا كَالْغَرِيقِ الْمُتَغَوِّثِ. A mayyit is like a drowning person, shouting for help. Even if you throw a twig, small twig, to the drowning person, the person will try and catch onto that straw, or that little blade of grass or whatever it is, so tiny, hardly even be able to get any support. But whatever you give the drowning person, the person will try and clasp onto it, just to save its life. Like that is the mayyit, waiting for any, even how, no matter how minute that thawab will be, the person appreciates. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah SAW said, the one that teaches one ayat from the book of Allah, the Quran, or a portion of deen knowledge, even if it is just one mas'ala, Allah Ta'ala will continue to increase the person's rewards till the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah SAW said, from amongst the rewards that a mu'min continue to receive after death is knowledge of deen that he had propagated, or left behind a pious son, or left in his estate a Qur'an. In other words, he bequeathed the Qur'an, or he gave Qur'an as waqf. So like for example, in this masjid, people give Qur'ans, different people will recite from it, and you're getting the sawab for it. Or he built a masjid. You build a masjid, people will come make salat there. For years, people make i'tikaf there. Programs take place there. Zikr takes place there. Tilawat of the Qur'an. So many good deeds are taking place. So many people are benefiting. So one masjid you built, and look at the sawab you get. Man bana masjidan illahi, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. One hadith says, whoever builds a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, you must do it with sincerity. Not so that your name can be written outside in the placard and so build a masjid. No, do it sincerely. Then Allah ta'ala builds for you a home in paradise. Ulama say that all of us don't have the money to build a masjid. So the word, man bana lillahi masjidan, a masjid, ulama say, even if it's part of a masjid, you donated a few rands, then inshallah, you will still get the reward of building a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or a musafir khana, lodging for travelers. So people will come from far and wide. Now they're going past the town. They've got nowhere to stay. So they'll spend a night there. If you have some food for the person, or at least some, you can have hot water, a place, a comfortable place to stay. So that musafir khana that you built, that also becomes a tawab-e jariya for you. Or a water canal that he dug. Or naharan ajrahu. So he dug a river or a water canal. So then so many people will benefit from there. They will drink water, they'll make wudu. People can use it for other purposes. So you will get the sawab for it. It is mentioned in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah ta'ala raises the status of some of the pious in Jannah. And the person will say, oh Allah, what act have I done that I have been granted such a high position? It will be said, this is due to your children making dua of maghfirat for you. Now imagine, person passed away, he was pious, got a position in Jannah. But because his children continue making dua of maghfirat for him, Allah Ta'ala increases the stage in Jannah, he goes higher and higher. On the day of Qiyamah, some people will possess rewards equivalent to mountains. He will ask for ways. Because the person knows he didn't do so much of good actions. It will be said, by your child making dua-i maghfirat for you. When your child makes dua-i maghfirat, then you are getting all the sawab equivalent to mountains. And therefore it is mentioned in the hadith, the gift of the living, the gift of the living to the dead is to seek maghfirat for them. So what we make dua, oh Allah, grant all the marhumeen maghfirat. So easy. Especially from our family, our mashayikh, our teachers, etc. Ya Allah, grant them maghfirat. One person used to make dua for Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha. She made a lot of dua in maghfirat for her. She passed away, and he should make a lot of dua. He was also a very pious person. Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha. We all know her life. And how pious she was. All just engaged in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he sees her in a dream. And in the dream he sees that platters of noor is brought for her. And it is covered. It's covered with a very fine, a very beautiful green material, silk material. So he asked her, what is this? She says, no, all the dua and maghfirat you make on my behalf, Allah Ta'ala gives this to us as a hadiyah. This is your hadiyah for us. This is your gift to us. Each time you make dua and maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala gives us this platters of noor that we are given as hadiyah and which we appreciate. So the gift that the living person makes for the dead person is that you make dua-i maghfirat for them. Once a person asks, Ya Rasulullah, my mother passed away. What is the best charity for her? So many things a person can do. In this hadith, Rasulullah says, water. He dug a well and said, this is the reward of the well, is for my mother, Ummu Sa'ad. So a borehole or a well that you donate on behalf of your marhum father or mother, this brings about tremendous sawab. And of course, in our continent, there are so many countries that they don't have pure, clean water. There's so many times they require boreholes, they require wells. And we have to take the initiative. Nobody's going to come now and beg you and please give some. We have to see, everything is around us. We've got access to internet, we've got access to so many organizations. Obviously, don't give the bogus person now. You must verify, check properly. There are people genuinely who go up to those places and they dig those boreholes and they get it done. So find the right people. We can't be sitting all the time and expecting everything just to happen. We've got to look and search for the people who are deserving. This is, mashallah, we became comfortable that we just expect others to do it. Find the right people who do it. And there are so many good causes and people are desperately in need every single day. So we must find the people. And imagine you dig one well, one borehole, and for the sawab of your marhum parents. Thousands of little children will benefit from this. Adults will benefit. Even animals will benefit. Think of that hadith, Sharif, that the prostitute, all she did was, she gave the thirsty dog water to drink. The dog was dying out of thirst, and she took a sock, and she put some water, and she gave the dog the little bit of water to drink. On that Allah made her maghfirat, Allah granted her jannat. So one borehole, one well that we dig, for the sake of our marhum parents, then we'll get endless sawab, so much of sawab. Rasulullah said this is the best of charity for the person who has passed away. So any other acts that we do, nafil, like we go for umrah, tawaf we make, tilawat of the Quran, we read Yasin Sharif, so easy. Three kuls we read. All this we confer to the deceased the rewards of all these nafil actions, these nafil devotions. We say, Ya Allah, pass on the sawab to the marhumin. Or to whoever you want from the marhumin, your parents, your child, whoever it is. So this is isal-e-thawab. In Arabic, awsala yusilu isal means to make something reach. We are making the sawab reach the dead people. And this is thabit from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says, as the Shabi Ram says, that the Ansar, it was the practice, that when a person passed on, the Ansar would go to his grave and recite the Quran for him. The Shabi says, I said, if they did not believe that the reward reached the dead person, the Ansar would not have read the Quran at the grave. And their belief is not without proof. In other words, their proof can only be due to the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must have asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They may have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reward of the recital of the Quran reaching the deceased has thus been proven according to the sayings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is mentioned in Sharh al-Sudur, which is a kitab written all on the conditions of the dead ones and qabr and akhirat. So if a person can recite Quran and Majid, say, you can't read the whole Quran, no problem. Recite three kuls equivalent to one Quran. So simple. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Like that Surah Yasin, also very beneficial. Iqra'u Yasin ala mawtakum. Ulama explain, one is a person passing away, you read Yasin by him there. Or even after the person passed you at his qabr, you recite Surah Yasin. Insha'Allah, the benefit of that will reach the mayyit. And there's an incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going past two qabrs. He tells the sahaba, innahuma layu'adhaban. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانَ فِي كَبِيرٍ Rasulullah ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala showed him that these two, the inmates of these two qabrs were being punished. They were being given azab. Yet he says that they were not being given azab for something very difficult to abstain from. It was easy for them to have abstained from it, but they fell into that sin. And because of that, they were being punished. So Rasulullah ﷺ then asked them to bring a fresh branch, and he placed it there with his own hands. He said, long as this is green, Allah Ta'ala will make the khfif of the azab. Allah will make this azab lighter. Now these two people, what type of azab and why they were being given azab? They were being punished. One, Rasulullah said, amma ahaduhuma. One of them, he was not abstaining from the splashes of urine when he should go to the toilet. He was not careful, not mindful of how he made istinja, how he relieved himself. Nowadays, it is such a filthy practice of urinals. You see, even in Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat also, they've got that. And there's women going past also. Okay, even in the airports, even though it is separate, but still, so many people, men are going past. There's no taharat. As Muslims, we must make sure you use the proper toilets, and we must teach them that this is taharat. Now imagine how filthy he makes, that the person is standing there, he's urinating, he doesn't even wash, comes out of the toilet, and he meets you, you are his friend, make musafaha with you. Islam teaches so much of taharat. Salman Farsi, radiallahu anhu, one hadith comes to mind, that the munafiqeen, or the disbelievers there in Medina, the munafiqeen it was, they began to mock him, oh, you look at your people's Nabi. He teaches you even how to go toilet. He said, yes. Our Nabi teaches everything. And this is the deen of Islam. From the time you wake up, till the time you sleep. From the time that baby is not even born, still in the mother's womb, and when the baby is born, it's tahniq, adhan. From tahniq right till tadfeen, right till the person passes away, Islam has got masail and teachings, advices, guidelines, how to conduct our lives. This is the beauty of Islam. No other deen will find all this. Which deen will tell you when you enter the place of worship, you must enter with the right leg, what dua to read, when you're coming out, this is how you must do, you must make ablution, you must wash your face, and you must make wudu, etc. This is deen of Islam. We should be happy and proud of our deen. So one, what was he doing? لا يستبرئ من البول. He wasn't mindful when he made istinja. So sometimes the person is relieving himself. Must be careful. The splashes of urine does not touch our body. Sometimes it may splash onto the leg or parts of the body, and we didn't realize it, didn't wash it, and then you're making wudu and you haven't washed that area, and you're making salat. It's no good. So be very careful when you go and relieve ourselves. And the second one was Namima, the person who was carrying tales. A lot of people, all they like is just to hear stories and broadcast. Hear stories and broadcast, all the time. This is BlackBerry, as we said last time. It's a big, big musibat. How often false information, rumors are spread? We should verify those statements. In fact, we shouldn't be bothered about what others are gossiping about. We shouldn't indulge in those talks. Any information, we want to be the first person to have passed on the information, like some very great sawab you're going to get. Nothing. So many times, everybody knows, and you're still jumping to show that you gave the news first. So what, our time is just being wasted. Our mothers and sisters especially should be mindful of this. They're carrying tales. Just hear somebody saying something, we tell the next person, you see, qasam, you won't tell any person, huh? It's very confidential. Please, you won't tell anybody. She said, no, I won't tell anybody. And she passed on the message, wasn't even verified. We're making buhtan, we're slandering some person, accusing some person. And even if it's true, it doesn't affect us. So you pass on to the third person, that person also takes qasam from somebody else, eventually the whole town comes to know. And with the broadcast, spread proper deen. Things that will be valuable to people. But just any information we get, and we just want to broadcast all the time. We have become too inquisitive about other people's affairs, rather than making introspection of our own lives. We are too nosy about everybody else. This is the fact. Allah forgive us. Deendar people have become victims of this. So what's going to happen? You're going to make ghibat. You're going to carry tales. You're going to accuse some person. You're going to cause a fight. There'll be wars taking place in the families. How did it start? Because you carried tales. And this person, imagine, so many other actions could have taken place and the person would have been given azab and Rasulullah would have mentioned to Sahaba, but these two things have been mentioned. That the person was carrying tales and because of that, he is being punished. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانْ فِي كَبِيرٍ. And in reality, it wasn't difficult to abstain from it. Something easy. What's so difficult to stay away from carrying tales? We have to exercise control over the zuban. ghibat, namima, slandering, rumors, all the time. May Allah Ta'ala make hifazat, help us to make hifazat of our tongues. There's a nice narration here about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. It's a lengthy narration. Where Rasulullah tells him, "Oh Umar, what will be your condition in the time of death? They will measure out for you a grave 3.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubit wide. They will come back and give you ghusl, put on a kafan, a fragrance for you. They will carry you to reach, till you reach the grave. They'll put you therein. Then the earth, they'll put you inside the qabr. And when everybody goes away, two people, angels will come down. The Munkar and Nakir, and they will question you, and their voices will be like intense thunder, and eyes like a heavy streak of lightning. They will jostle and hustle you, and speak harshly to you, and they make you terror-stricken." Rasulullah is giving a glimpse, or just a picture of a person, and not Umar radiallahu anhu, he's addressing Umar radiallahu anhu, but this is what the condition will be when a person is put into the qabr. Then Munkar and Nakir will come, and they'll ask, they are serious, they're not smiling at you. Man rabuk, ma dinuk, man hadha rajul. We discussed all this previously. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked, "Ya Rasulullah, at that time will I possess my full senses? At that time will I possess my full senses?" Rasulullah said, "Yes. At that time you'll possess your full senses." So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, such a great Sahabi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Ya Rasulullah, don't worry, I'll find a way out. I will sort myself out." This is Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Allah ta'ala had blessed him with such a strong iman, such bravery, such courage. It is actually mentioned in the riwayat that when Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going past any gully and a shaitan is coming from the other side, shaitan sees Umar. Shaitan takes a U-turn. Shaitan flees from the gully. Actually runs away. Umar is coming. He's so scared of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He was Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. There's one narration in Hayatul Sahaba, where Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Rasul tells him, "Umar, when you're going to go into the qabr, and the two angels ask you, man rabbuk, you'll ask them, what you ask him? Man rabbukuma, who's your Allah?" They'll get a shock. So they leave that question, next question, "Ma deenuk, what's your deen? What you asking me my deen? What is your people's deen?" Finally they say, "Have we been sent to Umar, or has Umar been sent to us?" This is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Why? He lived his life with taqwa, piety. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu first, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Usman ghani, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Sahaba kiram. The focus was right. Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayat. When maut is mentioned first, exactly like that, Sahaba kiram, they were not worried about dunya, they were more worried about akhirat. Dunya was by the way. And therefore they prepared themselves for the life after death. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat of preparing like that. May Allah Ta'ala make the question and the answers, questions and the answers, answering in the qabr very, very, very easy for us. Like how we mentioned last week, a mu'min when he's placed in the qabr and he'll be made to sit up, because he's so conscious about salat in the world, he will ask, "Is it time for salat?" So Allah must make our qabr a rawdatu min riyad al-jannah. Inshallah, if we send good deeds, sawab, jariyah for those deceased, Allah will make it such a meal in this world, others will send for us. So after qabr, there's hashar. We just mentioned one hadith, inshallah, and we'll continue next week. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. The very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, that Allah Ta'ala will grant 7 people shade on the day of Qiyamah, where there will be no shade but his shade. يُمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. The first person, Imamun Adil, a just ruler. Person who is a just ruler, and he deals with justice amongst his citizens. He is fair. He is not a tyrant. He does not make zulam, he doesn't oppress them. He gives them the due rights. Same Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he became Amir Mu'mineen, how would he pass his night patrolling the streets of Madinah? To check if any person is in pareshan, any person requires anything. To see if everybody has been given the rights. And we know the incident of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he was on the outskirts of Medina and he sees one woman and her children and they were suffering no food. And she did not know that this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And she sees on the day of Qiyamah, Amir al-Mu'mineen have to answer. He says, why? He says, look at my condition. Doesn't he know of my condition? So Umar said, how do you expect Amir al-Mu'mineen to know about your condition? You are so far away. He said, well, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's supposed to make inquiries and find out. So Umar goes himself and he brings some food and things there for her. And he does not go, he goes, takes, he pretends as though he's returning and he finds a suitable place and he watches from there until he sees the children eating and busy praying and they're happy after that. Imamun Adil, then washabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. That youngster who grows up in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a special blessing for our youth. That a person is young, despite all the temptations any youth is faced with. He says, no, I will please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person is, he frequents the masjid. He sits in the gathering of ta'aleem and dhikr. And he makes sure that he stays away from where all his other friends go to the disco and the rave clubs and taking drugs and all the other haram, the zina and the sharab that goes on. He says, no, I will live a pure life. Now such a youngster, Allah gives him shade on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no other shade but the shade of Allah. Special people. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And that person whose heart is always attached to the masjid, always waiting that, what time is namaz? I can quickly go back to the for namaz. If you ask the people, where you will find that person? They say, go to the masjid, you will find him. So all the time his heart is attached to the masjid. Comes early to the masjid, leaves late from the masjid. Then, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two people who love one and another solely for the pleasure of Allah. Their meeting is for the sake of Allah. When they separate, is for the sake of Allah. That means their muhabbat for one another was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not any dunya motive. They didn't have muhabbat for one another for any dunya purpose. There were no hidden agendas. Not that if I'm good with this person, then he'll give me his sister to marry. Oh, he's got a nice business, so I'll get something from, some share from that. No, it is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallam on the day of Qiyamah, أَيْنُ الْمُتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِ. Where are those people who love one another for my sake? They sat together for my sake. When they had to disperse, it was for my sake. They used to visit one another for my sake. الْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ فِي ذُلِّ يُمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّ. Today I'll give them shade under my shade. Will there be no other shade but my shade. And then, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْسِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ ذَاتُ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. There's a man, and there's a woman that is coming, very beautiful, very noble lineage, very wealthy indeed, and she's inviting him. He says, لا, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not prepared to make zina. I fear my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such a person, he will get shade on the day of Qiyamah. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. The last person that we mentioned is, a person gives sadaqah. And he gives it in such a way, that he conceals the sadaqah. In other words, he does not make i'lan of it, doesn't tell the whole world of it. He gives it so secretly. The hadith explains the manner in which he gives it, that nobody else comes to know, so much so, that what his right hand is giving, even his left hand doesn't even know. In other words, so much of ikhlas, sincerity. No amount has been mentioned that he must give so much of sadaqah, whatever little he's giving even. But it is done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala gives this person also shade on the day of Qiyamah. There will be no other shade but the shade of Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah Ta'ala give us His zil. Zil in Arabic means shade. May Allah Ta'ala give us His zil and His ayah and His shade on the day of Qiyamah. Allah make us, include us among these seven people, so that we can get the shade on such a day of Qiyamah when conditions will be so horrifying. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah, the sun will be hovering above the heads of the people, like the distance of one meal, which is mentioned in the hadith, the surma stick, so short, so small, like that the sun will just be above the heads of the people. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of preparing for maut. May Allah give us a strong iman, give us maut with iman. May Allah raise us in the day of qiyamah with iman. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده.